Good morning. Now, before we get started, we have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that is here today and for the opportunity for us to be able to come in this warm place and be able to worship together. Lord, I ask that you please speak through me and that my words may help glorify your name. In Jesus' holy, precious name I pray. Amen. You know, a couple weeks ago, Mark and I were talking in a group of people, and we were talking about doing sermons, and I had had a different sermon topic that I was thinking about preaching. I was going to do something on God's power of anointing, and Mark had told me, usually your sermon will come to you about a week before you have to preach your sermon. So a little voice inside me said, well, you need to change your sermon and do it on God's amazing love. And last night, for about the last week and a half, I haven't studied my Sabbath school lesson because I've been working on my sermon in every spare moment I had. So last night, Chantel and I were studying our Sabbath school lesson, and I opened it up, and there it was. It tied right into my sermon, and I told her, I said, you know that God's wanting me to speak this sermon. So I looked down at I'm going through and highlighting in my Sabbath school book. And I looked down at my Sabbath, or my highlighter pen says, God is love. And it had John 4:8 on there. So I knew that this was a sermon that I was supposed to be speaking. So as we get started this morning, would you please turn your Bibles with me to John 3. We're going to read 3:15 through 17. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'd like to ask, what is God's love? Let's see what the Bible tells us about that. Let's turn to 1 John 4, and we're going to be reading from 7 through 21. It says, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. As we read in 1 John 4:10, it was God sending his son to this earth to suffer a humiliating and painful death on the cross so that through Jesus we could be saved. God's amazing love is revealed at creation. It began with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Then God, because of his love for Adam, created Eve so Adam would have a partner. God's grace and forgiveness are truly acts of his amazing love. You know, we fall so short of God's glory each and every day on a daily basis, and yet he keeps picking us up and covering us with his grace and his forgiveness. When we are discouraged, God is so patient with us. As we read in 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I ask, do we truly love one another? God commands us to do this. And why is God's love so amazing? First of all, it's not logical. Let me ask you this, would you send your only son to die for someone, let alone for a sinful mankind? Can you imagine at what an immense cost our salvation has been? Our human thoughts and imaginations can never fully comprehend it. It's not reasonable, the amazing love of God for a world that did not love him. In 1 John 17:23, Jesus, in his last prayer for his disciples, said, "Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." When I think back on God's amazing love and grace, I reflect back on my life. When I was young, I'd say around six or so, my mother and my adopted father were divorced. So I come from a broken family, and I never knew my real father because I was adopted when my mother was 8 months pregnant with me. Things were pretty rough for my sister and I growing up. There's so much hurt and anger growing up when your parents are divorced when you're at such an early age in your life. There's things as a child that you just don't understand or can't comprehend. Our mother worked very hard, but she didn't make much money and was on welfare. I remember sometimes not having anything to eat, but she did the best that she could to support my sister and I. And we also never had any kind of Christian upbringing either as a child. Oh, how I wish as a child we would have known the love of God and Christ as our Savior. It would have made a big difference in our lives growing up. When I was 16, my mother committed suicide. And after her death, I'd started smoking and turned to smoking pot. I even wondered if there ever even was a God, and if there was, why he would let something like this happen to me. After a couple of years of just existing and dealing with the pain and suffering and guilt of my mother's death, I graduated high school and got married at the young age of 18 and had three beautiful children. I worked as a diesel mechanic, and at the age of 23, I was working on a truck and I ruptured two discs in my lower back. So I had to go through several back surgeries and an unbelievable amount of pain. I was in a full metal back brace. It went from my neck down to my waist for, I'd say, about 3.5 years. And at one point, I was even in a wheelchair because my legs would just give out on me when I'd try to walk, and then I'd just hit the floor. My ex-wife and I were married for 16 years, the last three of which were really bad and ugly. We had been smoking pot and drinking again, and my ex-wife ended up getting mixed up into methamphetamines and was cheating on me, and we finally ended up getting a divorce. The first terrible thing I went through as a child, my own children were now facing. At that time, I'd already quit smoking pot about 6 months earlier and was working at Roseburg Lumber. I got custody of my children and was doing the best I could to try to raise them. However, I was still drinking and trying to ease the pain of divorce instead of surrendering my life to the Lord. About a year had gone by, and I ended up catching a bad chest cold. I still remember to this day breaking down and crying and crying and crying. I knew this was a good time to quit smoking. And if I quit smoking, then I needed to quit drinking because the two go hand in hand together. I broke down and I pleaded to God to change my life and to help me to become a better person, to help me quit drinking and smoking cigarettes for good, and to send me a good wife. I have to tell you, after 20 years of smoking and drinking, God took those terrible habits and sin out of my life without hardly any withdrawals. You know, God dwells in every house, and He hears every word that is spoken. God listens to every prayer that we offer up to Him, and that's God showing His amazing love to us. You see, up until that point in my life, I had a life full of sin and had never repented for my sins or surrendered to the Lord. Even when I wasn't seeking God, He was seeking me. God loves us even when we don't deserve it. 2 years later, God brought Chantel and I together, and we ended up getting married. God, in His own timing, had placed a wonderful Christian woman in my life. I was still working at the time on relief shift and had to work on Saturdays. Chantel would go to church on Saturdays, but she never pressed me to go. Instead, she only led by her love and example. For a while, we'd been watching a Ken Cox series that was on 3ABN, and finally one day, Chantel asked if I'd like to come to church with her, and I told her I thought she'd never ask. From that day on, my life's changed forever. I was baptized and gave my life to the Lord in October of 2003 by Ken Cox after a series he'd been putting on at UCC. From that day on, I've grown leaps and bounds in my daily spiritual walk with the Lord and continue to be a work in progress. How does God's love change us? I know that every person in this room has probably got a different answer to that question. My adopted father and I had had a falling out when I was 18 due to his constant abuse and stealing money from me. When I became disabled, I wasn't able to receive my disability checks. Because I had been receiving Social Security checks, my adopted father's name was the same as mine, so I'd been receiving Social Security checks through my mother's death, and he'd always been cashing them. Well, I guess after you turn 18, you're no longer supposed to receive them, and he just kept cashing the checks until finally they had stopped them, so they said that I was unable to receive my benefits because I had frauded the government. Because I had actually thought that it was me that had been cashing the checks and not turning them back in. My children never got to meet their grandfather because my reasoning at that time was I didn't want him to hurt them or to abuse them like he'd done to anybody else. Not being a Christian at the time, I had a lot of anger and resentment built up towards him. When Chantel and I got together, I told her about the situation and how I'd never wanted to see him again. 2 years ago, I received a call from my father's wife saying he was dying of cancer and only had hours to live. She said she didn't blame me if I didn't want to come see him. Because of God being in me, Chantel and I decided we needed to go see him. And after 30 years of separation, we did just that. When we got there, I found this frail, shriveled up man laying there that could hardly speak. He asked that I get closer because I couldn't believe that I was there to see him. Chantel had told me before we went that I needed to think about the good things that he'd done in my life instead of the bad. His wife was a Jehovah Witness, and we asked him if he could pray, if we could pray with him, and she wasn't real happy about it, but he said he'd love for us too. And after we prayed for him, we could just see a peace come over him. Several hours after we left, we got a call that he'd passed. I had finally been able to forgive him after 30 years because of God's amazing love being in me and working through me. Last year, Chantel and I had the man that my ex-wife had been seeing when we got divorced and his two children go to the light show at River Forks Park with us and then come to our house for Christmas. I know for most people, if you're not a Christian, it's probably You know, something that you wouldn't ever dream of ever doing, because it's just not normal. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without having God's love in me. God has given Chantel and I the privilege to go on several mission trips and to help others as well as to serve in our church. We have truly been blessed by the facilities that He's provided for us to run, to be able to witness there and to show God's love to people. We're blessed to be able for God to work through us to help build and support the orphanage in Africa, as well as being able to be a part of the Homeless Coalition and warming centers here locally. After a year and a half of planning and a lot of work, the Umpqua Valley Warming Center opened a week and a half ago. And it's amazing to see all the people that have come together from all denominations to work hand in hand for the glory of God and to show their love and support for those who have nothing. The homeless are so gracious and kind, and they are so thankful for the things that you and I take for granted. You can actually see God's amazing love in them. God has truly covered me with His grace, gave me His forgiveness and love. And that's just incomprehensible to me. God's amazing love and grace to save a sinner like me. Now, isn't that amazing love? To close, I'd like to go back to the beginning and reread John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This time I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for You to dwell in each one of us that are here today, and for us to have the unconditional love that You have for us, Father, towards others. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, and forgiveness, Lord. I pray that You help us to go out and be a shining light for You in everything we say and do. In Jesus' holy, precious name we pray. Amen.